Welcome to DeFi Expectations. Today, we're interviewing Matt Hill, creator of Damn Tasty Corn Chips NFT series. How you doing, Matt?
Yeah, really good, guys. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Just getting ready for the weekend.
Yeah, it's Saturday morning, just after 9 a.m. here. So, weekend's already started for me.
Yeah, this is a tough time schedule for us to get.
Yeah, it was a bit hard to get us in the same time zone to get this done, but I'm glad we're finally here. We're doing it, and we'll talk about some NFTs.
Yeah, well, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, I live in Sydney, Australia. I heard about NFTs, and I know the exact date. It was March 30 of this year. As soon as I actually understood kind of what they were, I knew I wanted to be a part of it. And these NFTs, the ones you see on the screen right now, they're my little guys. They're the Damn Tasty Corn Chips. I actually had these designed. I stumbled on it about over a year ago, and the idea was to print them, frame them, and put them up in like Mexican restaurants and little hipster cafes in Sydney. And I never got around to it. I had a birth of my youngest daughter last year, and a lot of things got like put on hold when it comes to the creative side of life. And fast forward until 5 or 6 weeks ago, had a friend tell me about NFTs and did not understand it one bit. And fired up a flare on Facebook, and a friend of mine, Deadhead, you guys should get him on. He's a fantastic artist as well, in the same blockchain as me. It's a Wax blockchain on Atomic Hub. He just walked me through it step by step and helped me get started. You know, I did my own research for 5 weeks and asked him questions nearly every day, annoying the crap out of him, trying to find out how this actually works. And in that meantime, I was building up some more characters. I built a website, built all my social media profiles, downloaded Telegram, didn't have one of those. Now I've got like 116 people in there or something. So, and the community is fantastic. Anyone that's even thinking about doing anything with NFTs have to join this community. It's amazing. Everyone's so supportive of each other.
That's awesome.
But got it all up and running and fired off my first series drop last Saturday, so last Friday night for you guys. And one hell of a success, actually. Saw a few thousand dollars roll in, and never seen money roll in like that ever before in my life. What you're seeing on the screen there is my little side hustle that I was doing way before these corn chips came along, these NFTs came along. I'm actually a sign writer and designer by trade. So I design liveries for race cars. The ones that you see on the screen are digital race cars. They're from the simulator iRacing. And I've been doing that since the iRacing cars since 2017. So I'm not unfamiliar with digital art, but this NFT thing was a whole new world. And I dived in head first, and I do not regret it.
So you, what is this game called again?
iRacing. Yeah. It's I haven't played many of the others, but I've got to say this is the best race simulator game around. As you can see, I'm concentrated on the dirt cars. I used to be called Dirt Division. That's why that little ad there, Dirt Division isn't dead. I changed my name last year to Damn Creative Studio, something a little bit more punchy. And the website got put on hold when I found out about these NFTs. So I've just been totally consumed by this new project. And I don't regret it.
That's awesome that you were able to get it together so quick too. I've had some NFT ideas that I've like put all of them on hold just because everything's gotten so crazy.
Yeah, it's the thing. You know, I've got a very supportive family. I've got three kids, and they understand once they're in bed, and it's time for me to jump on the computer and sort out my creative projects. If I don't do something creative every week, I go nuts. I go mental. So unless I get this sort of ideas out, I'm not a nice person to hang around.
I can feel it for sure. I'm also a work from home dad, so I totally feel you completely there.
Yeah.
For some reason, Fry, I always forget that you have a daughter.
I just seem like such a psycho. Yeah, I'm a family man.
Yeah, I've got three kids. My eldest is 16 and she loves anime. So I've told her that she has to come around and see what you guys are doing too. She will love your avatars.
Oh, Fry, you got it. You gotta tell them about Perfect Blue.
Oh yeah.
So good.
It's a good film for sure. Oh, we have to do an episode just on Perfect Blue sometime. Even though it's not like crypto related at all, I think we should anyway. It's a masterful film.
We gotta figure out. Yeah, maybe we can just do something like completely unrelated. Because it's nuts.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Have you heard of that before, Matt?
No, I haven't. I'll tell you guys a little secret. We don't actually have a TV in the house.
Oh, wow.
That's not bad.
Well, what? A little bit off topic, but yeah. So when I met my partner, we after we moved in together, we just didn't buy a TV. We used to spend our days sitting out the backyard, having a beer after work and talking, and we had a housemate as well and helped pay the rent, and they were both from Germany, so we had a lot to talk about. And yeah, we never actually ended up buying a TV, and then we just kept it going and we still don't have a TV. We do watch movies and stuff. We've got a laptop that we plug in a projector onto the wall. Mm-hmm. But we don't actually watch any TV, and I have no idea what's going on in the world other than what I see.
It's a better way to live. Like, I'm proud just not having had cable most of my life. I mean, as soon as I was old enough to make the decision whether or not I want a cable, I was like, I'm not going to pay for someone to advertise me all day. But yeah, it's good to get away from the screens when you can, for sure.
Yeah, I used to, like, before I met my partner, my ex-girlfriend, when I was living with her, we had Foxtel over here. I don't know if you guys have the same thing. It's like satellite or cable, and there's 300 channels, and I used to spend my nights just sitting there flicking through, and there was nothing on 300 channels, and I couldn't make a decision what to watch. So I'm glad of that. I get so much more done now.
The only thing, like, whenever I would, like, actually have time to sit down and watch TV, it'd be like 12 in the morning, and like the only thing on would be infomercials, and it was just like, why are we paying for this at all, for me to watch commercials?
Yeah,
and that's all cable is anyways. It's like nonstop commercials.
Well, I have a full-time job as well, so I go to work every day. That's half an hour away from my house, and I couldn't imagine coming home and watching TV anymore. So yes. It's too much creativity in my head. And like I said, if I don't get it out, I burst. And I want to spend the time that I have with my kids and the missus. So yeah, I'm glad we don't have one.
To that point, since you're not really much influenced by TV, then what would you say is the connection to Damn Tasty Corn Chips? What is it that actually, like, that sparked your interest in corn chips and kind of creating these interesting designs that we have here?
Who doesn't like corn chips? I don't remember the exact moment I came up with the corn chip idea. I do know it was inspired by, I would say this pinpoints it actually. It was inspired by, step back, sorry. So yeah, I had this idea with the corn chips. I think I was actually eating a corn chip and say, wouldn't it be cool if we had little corn chip characters? And that evolved into an idea. That evolved into a design. The first one I designed, if you scroll down, you'll see the actual cards themselves, and you'll see a little guy called Corny Little Devil. I think he's like third or fourth down. And there he is. That was the first one I designed. I thought it was punny. it was funny. And then the whole idea just got put on the shelf. Like I said, a lot of family stuff happening over that year. And then I got re-inspired again by a guy who makes t-shirts, but he does it from a bakery, and the whole thing's set up around a bakery. It's the only world's only t-shirt bakery. I'll look that up. And he has these little characters that they all kind of look the same, but they're all based on a different famous cartoon. And his story inspired me to get started on these things. And that's when I started ticking away. I think I designed five or six of them.
JohnnyCupcakes.com. Does that sound
that good? Is him, Johnny Cupcakes. Yeah.
Nice job.
I was actually trying to type that as we were speaking then, but I can't multitask like that.
That's why I'm quiet sometimes. I'm doing stuff in the background.
So I'm glad you guys are playing this. This guy, he's so successful at what he did, and his whole setup, everything that he does, is amazing. It is really, really cool. That kind of re-inspired me again. And what I did was I made up those corn chips and found this website called redbubble.com. And redbubble.com is an Australian site, but they're worldwide. They're a print-on-demand service. So you upload a picture and it automatically appears on a T-shirt or a drink bottle or a clock or socks or anything like that. And if people come along and buy it, you get a cut of it. It doesn't cost you anything to get started. And that was the beauty of it, because I don't have a lot of money. And so I put all these designs up on these products, and again, didn't really, I guess I was a bit lazy on this one because I didn't market it at all. I sold one product. I sold a James Cornfield T-shirt, which is one of the characters down there.
So there's some random person.
There it is. There's a story of it right there.
There's one random man.
if anyone ever bumps into this guy wearing this shirt, tell him he needs to contact me.
He's probably gonna make an NFT out of it.
Yeah, I would. I'd get it. Yeah. I don't know. He's in Australia, actually. I do know it was shipped to an address in Australia, but that's as far as I know. It's all pretty secure on that website, so you don't know where your stuff's going.
Right.
I was going to say, show up at his door and offer to sign it for him.
Maybe if this actually gets, if this blows up and there's a little bit of fame involved, then, and I've got, obviously, the fortune that may come with it. I'm not sure if it will. And it's not why I'm in it for, but that story's later. If I get the opportunity to go and meet this guy who bought my t-shirt, I would fly to wherever he is, drive to wherever he is, and say thank you, and then give him something and go home.
So is that the actual guy right there, or is that just a model?
That's on the Redbubble site, yeah.
Do you know, does Redbubble do sublimation designs, or do they just do frontal printings?
I think that there's some products that are sublimated, like their socks.
Okay.
I think the rest of them are direct to garment prints.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and things coffee mugs, they're sublimated on a heat press, I'm pretty sure. I used to do that for a job at one stage of my life, so... Yeah.
I had a quick question for you about Wax Exchange. Because I'm a little bit new to this particular exchange. Was there a certain reason you had chosen this this exchange for your NFT drop?
Yeah. So the guy Deadhead that talked me through it, this is the blockchain he's on. And when he started showing me how it works, I started looking around things like OpenSea and there was a couple of other names, but I don't know any of the others. I really don't know. I'm so new to NFTs that I haven't had time to actually look at anything else. And I will get to that point, I hope, that I know what else is around, so I actually know what I'm talking about when I do these interviews. But yeah, so with the Atomic Cloud, which is the Wax blockchain, they're very concentrated on trading cards and collectibles. So it sort of fit because when Deadhead told me that these would be really good as trading cards, then and this was the right platform.
Excellent. Yeah, and did you factor in, or have you kind of heard that debate that's going on now about green energy and cryptocurrency? I mean, you have Elon Musk, who recently, you know, there was all this hype around Bitcoin is now going to be able to be used to purchase cars at Tesla, right? And then now you have the recent announcement, him saying, actually, we're not accepting Bitcoin until Bitcoin finds a way to become more energy efficient. Was energy efficiency, or how it would factor into cost of the drop, something you had to look into a lot? Or was it just, you just kind of went with Wax and it was affordable, it was reasonable, worked for what you were looking for?
I was oblivious to all of that until yesterday. I was listening to another NFT podcast, and they actually mentioned that Wax is one of the greenest blockchains for NFTs around. And forgive me if I get these numbers wrong, but the guy that they were talking to seemed to know what he was talking about. It's 222,000 times more efficient, energy efficient than Ethereum. But it's like a crazy number. I said I could be talking out of my ass here. I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, but he said there was this crazy number of how more energy efficient Wax is than blockchains like Ethereum, and this is what drew him to that blockchain, is because of how green it actually is compared to all the others.
Excellent. Yeah, I was curious about that, if there was a difference with them over some of the others. And
yeah, well, I'm 100% for saving the environment that we have left. And
absolutely.
And when I heard that Wax is one of the best, it was just a lucky drop for me, because I didn't even put energy consumption into any sort of factor of my knowledge into all of this, because I was concentrated on the art and how to get it out there. And then I find all these tags that hang off these NFTs. And I'm talking to people that still don't know what an NFT actually is. And then, but this rabbit hole of information that comes with it, and the pros and the cons, I'm only just coming across now. So yeah, I'm glad I got onto the Wax blockchain for that reason as well. And I'm glad it was just luck that I landed on it.
So when someone buys this, do they pay in Wax? Like, does Wax have its own token?
Yes, that's correct.
Is it available to purchase elsewhere? Or do you, like, how do you actually acquire Wax?
So I opened up a Wax cloud wallet, which is what you're in right now.
Okay.
And I deposited money through Atomic Hub. So in Atomic Hub, you'll see up at the right-hand corner, there's a little green thing, little green numbers there with how much Wax you've got. You hit the plus button, and I just added $30 in there. My original investment in this was 30 Australian dollars. And that's all I've put in so far.
That's good. So that's all it took to produce the whole thing?
Well, more or less. So before this actual launch, again, a few of the helping hints that I got from Deadhead, told me to release some collaborations. And well, it didn't tell me. He asked me if I wanted to do some collaborations. He sent me one of his cards, which was a topless lady in a pair of unzipped jeans that he drew. He hand draws all of his stuff. And he asked me to cover her up. So I put like a little bikini top on her with my corn chips as the actual bikini.
Where can you do that at?
If you go to my website, it's in the About Us section. You'll see it if you scroll down to there, framed. And so that one he released, and I think he put $10 on each card, and made it so there was only 30 available, and he also had a free version. That the one you see right there is the free version. He had 1,000 of those that just went out the door in like a minute.
Oh, nice.
And then he said, oh, okay, it's your turn. So the character you see on the right, that's I redrew that face from another card of his that he called self-portrait. It was a really funny drawing of himself as one of his characters. And yeah, basically I stole his face and put it onto a corn chip. and then again, I did the exact same thing he did. I put up a version that was free. There was 1,000 available. And then I made 30 available of this one and put $10, $10 US each on it. And woke up the next morning and all 30 had been sold. So I had $300 worth of wax in my wallet, which I have probably used maybe 3/4 to maybe all of that 300 now, doing all the topping up of RAM and CPU and all the stuff that all the little costs that are involved in doing a big release.
Mm-hmm. Seems like that's an easy platform to go with then, if you plan your drop correctly, right? Because it sounds like you didn't have to come up with a whole lot down to do it.
100%. Like, I don't know. Like I said, when I walked into this, I still am very, very new to it all. But if someone like me would, I'm an artist. I'm not incredibly intelligent. But I figured it out. I had friends that helped me on the way through. It cost me $30 and I've made a few grand since the drop. So it's definitely something that is simple. I don't know what it's like. I can't say it's compared to other places, but it was fairly simple for someone that's 38 years old, whose brain's slowing down on the learning thing. It's the brain's not as spongy as it used to be. And I've managed to do it. And while doing that, building websites, building a collection, building a community in 5 weeks in my night times after work, after family dinners, after putting the kids to bed, I managed to do it. So I'm pretty sure the smart guys in the community would be able to do an even better job, or a quicker job even.
Yeah, it's a lot to do. It's an impressive amount of work to do, like between actually creating all the cards. Like I think you did like all the different designs. I think I saw a video of you like signing them too. Is that right?
That's right. So if you want to get into my collection, so as you can see on the screen, you got your three packs there. They're the three main packs. The teaser cheese is basically a pack that's you've got four common cards and one rare or super rare card, and you get in that slot you've got a 66% to 33% chance of getting one or the other, and then the value goes up in each pack that you get. So the Cheese Supreme, you've got a chance to get two of the special cards. In the Extreme Chili Cheese, you get an extra base card and three chances at the different special cards. So, and you'll see the next one down. This pack is one that I created last night and put that up for sale. Oh, last night, sorry, Thursday night, my time. And I've only sold 30 of those packs, and the drop's still going, by the way. So if anyone wants to get into this pack, it's the best value out of all of them. It doesn't actually contain any singular cards in there. It only includes packs. So think of it as like one of the big family packs of chips when you go to the supermarket and you've got all the other packs inside that pack. The thing with this, I called it Inception to rip off Inception. All these corn chip. If you go into my Telegram, it's just full of puns. Everyone is playing with these corn chip puns. It's awesome.
It's funny how driven by food we are. You know, I would say it's an American thing, but I think it's everywhere. Like with our advertising, you know, we work with Shared Stake, e-staking platform. That's one of the things like we've been trying to do is it's shared stakes. So we're trying to incorporate, you know, like stakes, meat, and the community is very driven by that. But, you know, we're really trying to eat into that with all our advertising. But it's so funny, like how how quickly drawn we can be to food, and just with how this was done, how successful it's been. It's, I mean, good for you. It's awesome.
Yeah, thanks. I'm very impressed with the fact that you slipped a pun in there in that little. You just totally walked over it like it didn't happen. You're trying to eat into that pun thing, yeah?
Oh yes,
with the steaks, yeah. Very well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, so this pack, so there's so when you set these packs up, you have to fill slots. So if you want to put three assets into this pack, the first asset is called a slot. You will have to choose what the chances are. Like if there's two items that you're going to be giving them a chance to get. So for instance, pack one, there's a 99% chance you'll get a extreme chili cheese, which is the best pack you can buy out of those three up the top. And there's a 1% chance, so one out of every 100 packs sold may have a inscription pack in there, which means you'll have a pack inside of a pack that has packs inside. And that could
I love this.
And that could
like a taco within a taco.
And I came up with this idea while I was working, and I'm like, oh my god, I've got to do this. And I spoke to a couple of guys downstairs that know what I'm doing in the print room where I used to be, and say, hey guys, what do you think? Should I call it Inception or Incepcorn? And it was overwhelming response that it should be Inception. So I went with that.
Did you ever collect like Pokemon cards or anything like that back in the day?
I used to collect NBA cards. And we have our rugby league over here. I used to collect the rugby league cards as well. But mm-hmm. I don't know where any of the rugby league cards are. I'm looking at the folder with all my NBA cards now. And I've got a little box somewhere where I've put all the ones that I think might be worth something someday. So I used to collect Hot Wheels cars, which I've given to my son. So they're all destroyed now. And something that's kind of creepy, I guess, for a lot of people. I like to collect puppets. I've got I've got some marionette puppets hanging in my office right now. I'm just looking up at them, looking back at me, which is kind of creepy.
My daughter has all my racing cars now too. She has all my little toy cars.
Yeah.
My mom just found all of mine and gave them to me like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and another thing I used to collect when I was younger, which I don't have any proof of anymore, was hats. I used to collect baseball hats, baseball caps. And I used to have, at one time, 40 caps sitting in my closet, and I just pick one out for the day. But yeah, other than that, I haven't really had a massive amount of money to spend on things that would sit on a shelf and or you'd be able to go to and look at someday. Except for those things that didn't cost a lot of money, like the basketball cards.
Yeah, I asked because it seems like you set this up so well. It would seem like you have some knowledge of those kinds of drops and other NFT projects. I can tell you for sure if you're interested in like sports trading cards, definitely like NBA Top Shot would be something cool to check out. I don't know if you've heard of them or follow them or not, but they're another really cool project in the space that does, of course, NFTs around different moments in basketball history, so it might be worth checking out.
Yeah, I've heard about it. I definitely want to go have a look at it. I know a couple of guys that have actually bought some, and they bought it purely for the investment side of things as well, because when you see how much money these NFTs are selling for. Like there's some crazy things out there, absolute crazy things going on. And it's only just begun. Like really, I know I haven't been in it for the last 5 years or however long it's been really going for, but like you look around, like there's still probably 80% of our population that have no idea what an NFT is.
Oh, mm-hmm. I think it's way less than that.
Even after seeing the SNL skit, they know even less about NFTs, I would guess.
Yeah. If they know anything right now, they've probably heard the term Bitcoin and Doge and maybe NFT, but most people I talk to still have no clue what an NFT is.
Yeah, I have
what do you think the biggest like value statement is for it specifically? Like what do you think, what was the reason you decided I really want to put some time into doing NFTs?
It was like, okay, there was a few reasons. One, I'll get the money thing out of the way because I don't like talking about money a lot. And I find it very hard to put a price on things that I've done, even though I sit there and I calculate the time that I've worked out. Like when I do designs for clients, money is it's really tricky thing for me to talk about because I'm focused on the art side of things. Mm-hmm. So when my friend told me about how much money he made, obviously my ears pricked up because he made a fair chunk of cash doing this. And then he showed me the communities that he was involved with. Then he showed me how much art he was able to get out into the world that he's always the art that he wanted to do, not something that someone's asked him to do for money, art that he wanted to get out. And that's what, when my eyes lit up, when he told me that he was able to, you know, distribute his art and people kept paying money for it because they loved it so much. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's what pulled me into it because like I said, I tried to put these onto t-shirts and didn't really put much effort into marketing. That's my bad. But that wasn't successful. No one got to see it. And again, if I was to do the original idea and put these things in a frame and put them up in a Mexican restaurant on their wall with a price tag on it, maybe one person will buy it. And maybe 100 people during the year might sit at that table and see it, where this can reach thousands, if not millions of people. And they can tell me if they like them or hate them or whatever, as long as they've seen them. And if it brings someone some happiness by having a little bit of a chuckle at, you know, their little descriptions that I put on them, or if they actually see a character that they recognize, like the James Cornfield one, for instance, Metallica fans everywhere will know straight away what that is. Mm-hmm. And if that brings a little smile to their face, my job's done. And that's what really sucked me into this space is because of the reach. I can really reach a lot of people with this art.
It really does empower artists too, especially independent artists. So that's exactly what I was getting at, that value statement essentially.
Yeah, it's really cool that like the internet has definitely opened up like a very, very lucrative market to reach people that really like enjoy a specific type of art. Because art is one of the biggest things that I like actually enjoy. My house is absolutely decked out in art on a regular basis. I'm constantly trying to like find original paintings and stuff like that. Yeah, a little bit of NFTs, but for now, I really, really still, you know, I prefer something that like, because I'm immersed in my house. I'm sure sometime, you know, not too far in the future, we're going to be spending a lot of time immersed in a digital area where we could actually have our stuff displayed a little more. But, you know, art is a big thing for me. I'm actually like, I'm in a bunch of groups on Facebook where I commission artists to do stuff. I'm actually in the process right now of helping Secret Network out, trying to find a bunch of artists to create possible like NFT avatars. So we're looking for some, we're looking for like a few different artists in there to start creating some secret agent characters for them.
So if you need a secret agent, Cornship, I'm your guy.
You know what? That would be a lot of fun. Like we should chat afterwards, because that would be a fun little thing to like add in there. And that kind of brings up another question. Like, what is your relationship in the crypto space in general? I guess, like, have you pretty much focused all of your attention just on the NFT side of Wax, or do you have any involvement in other crypto stuff?
I have involvement in one other cryptocurrency, and I don't even know how it works or what I'm doing with it. All I know is I've got 300 of these things and I don't even know what they're worth. It's called PI. And I don't even know if it's an actual cryptocurrency yet. I think it's like in one of those opening times where it doesn't actually quite exist yet, but it's still doing something. I said, I'm clueless when it comes to these things, but a friend sent me a link to it and said, hey, sign up to this. All you got to do is press the button every 24 hours. And it doesn't use any of your data. It doesn't use any of your phone battery, but it mines from the cloud or like some hired out, but leased computers. I don't know what I'm talking about here, but all I know is that I open up this app every day. Every 24 hours, I have to reset the mining thing, and the more people I get, the faster my thing mines. So if this ends up doing what they're explaining what it's going to do, they reckon it's going to be the next Bitcoin. I'm sure everyone thinks their cryptocurrency is going to be the next Bitcoin. But if it is, that's great. I've got 300. I'm just watching it sort of tick away. You know, if nothing comes of it, then man, I've wasted 3 seconds of my day once a day. And if something comes of it, sweet, I made some money. So yeah, that's my extent of knowledge when it comes to actual cryptocurrencies.
A vast like array of stuff. I think there's nearly 10,000 currencies at this point. It might be even more at this point too.
Cornholio.
Actually, the Aussie Ozcon was the missus's idea. Actually, she came up with that one. I've got to give her some credit for it.
These are all pretty good. It's on Corn Leone. Oh my God. All right. Did we want to go through some of these on the actual block, Wax blockchain itself?
Yeah, if you like. What do you want to do? Have you guys got some packs still?
Yeah. No, I haven't opened any yet. So first off, thank you very much for sending us some. That's awesome.
Appreciate no problem.
Yeah. Okay, so cool. Before we pop one open, I was wondering too. So you were saying like you insert, like when you're setting this up, you have to insert stuff. So does that kind of work the same way that you would with the cards? Like you're randomizing each pack. Is that correct?
That's right. So there's another website called Nifty Blocks. And that is actually purpose built to do these sort of things. At the moment, they're again very fresh to it all. So there's not a lot you can do. I mean, you can build packs, you can drops like ahead of time, and there's like a bunch of other little things you can do that I haven't worked out yet. But pre-minting is something that's very new, and so basically. At the moment, if I was to set up another pack to go out with a whole heap of new cards, the first people that buy the packs are going to get all the mint number ones. So you got to get in quick to do it. And then for sellers like me, it's like, well, that went well for an hour. Now you've got to kind of grind it and keep everyone interested in what you're selling so the packs still kind of sell. Like at the moment, my biggest 2 days was on the weekend when I did the drop, and then every day there's just been like a couple of pack sales. So I had to bring something new to the table, and I brought in that Inchiption pack. Yeah. So with the slots, like I said, with the Extreme Chili Cheese, I think I've got 8 cards in there. Yep, there's 8 cards. So each slot, so slot number one, there's a 50% chance you're going to get a silver foil card. There's a 33.33 repeated chance that you're going to get a gold, and a 16.66 chance you're going to get a holographic. And then that's the same with slot number two and slot number three. It's only silver and gold, and the rest of the slots is 100% chance you're going to get base cards. And the reason why I've done it like that is because, and we'll get to the burn mechanism a bit later, I guess, but you're able to blend cards. So if you've got 3 duplicates, you can go to my website, click a button, and it'll take you to a place you can actually join them up to upgrade that card.
Yeah, I was going to ask you something about the user experience. You said something there that when a person buys a pack, so obviously we already own these packs, we've already received them, but like when a person actually buys the pack, is it at that time that something within Wax blockchain then determines the 1 in 100 chance of which NFT is provided? Do you give it like an inventory and then it actually handles the percentages or mechanics for you? Or is there some other point of sale at which it determines like what cards they're going to get in that pack? Do you give it as that mechanism?
Yeah. I think it's Nifty Blocks that works that out for you. Mm-hmm. What I've done with Atomic Hub is uploaded every single asset. So the chip packets are an asset, all the cards are an asset, like each card is an asset. So when you do all this in Nifty blocks, you're saying that this asset, the Extreme Chili Cheese Pack, is redeemable for eight cards, and those eight cards have this amount of chance that you're going to get it, the cards that you're after. So if you go buy a packet, like right when it, like if you buy the first packet, like mint number one, there isn't going to be mint number one cards in there unless you open it before everyone else. Does that make sense?
So the packs we're looking at right now that we have not opened, it's still randomized as to what we're going to get, essentially. Is that correct?
That's right. But if you say get a silver Cornholio, you will get the next available silver Cornholio. So if there's been 500 silver Cornholios claimed, you'll get 501.
Gotcha.
Mint number 501. I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Okay. Should we want to go ahead and open one of these?
Yeah, I had one more question real quick before you do. Like, so did you have to design the pack itself, or is there like a way, do they have like a pack that you kind of upload a graphic onto, or did you have to download or like upload that whole thing yourself and create the whole physical like pack that we're looking at right now?
That's all me. I did all that.
Gotcha. What did you use to do that? Like, is it a 3D program?
No, it's Photoshop. It's basically, so I designed, maybe later if you guys have time, I'll actually show you the process that I go through for that. But there's these filters you can buy that are actually a packet that's silver. So the actual packet itself, it comes as a, looks like a blank packet. The picture itself is a blank packet. And I put it in Photoshop and I designed the actual details on it in Illustrator, brought those details into Photoshop and layered that packet over the top of them, over the top of the details, and set like a filter over it. So it's sort of transparent and it looks like it's actually on the pack. And then I kind of shape the image to make it look like it's sort of bending around the edges a little bit. That's so cool. There's a little process to it, but yeah, it's fairly simple. And obviously looking at it, it kind of looks real, eh?
Yeah, no, it's really cool. And that's what I was asking. Yeah, it definitely adds to the whole aesthetic. And that actually makes me think of one more thing. So like I've been, I've been a player off and on of Magic the Gathering for 1995. I even got Fry into it actually.
Yeah.
But with that, there's value in the cards themselves. And then especially for the older stuff, there's value in unopened packs. Like, same thing with, unopened video games or anything like that, that like now are graded and stuff like that. So like, do you think it would be worth it to, possibly, because I assume most people open these and there's got to be some kind of thing on the blockchain that actually says that they've been opened at that point. So is it possible to have an unopened pack technically? Or, I mean, once you open it, does it say that somewhere? Like, or
it
does
burns
it, it does it look the exact same way still?
It burns it. So once you open a pack, it's gone.
Gotcha. So there is a possibility of like, saying, hey, maybe I should keep an unopened pack.
Yeah. Especially the low mints. Like if you got in there when I dropped these, I'm pretty sure anyone that holds a number one mint of one of these packs are holding onto it. I had a look at how many of these Inchyption packs that I've sold compared to the amount that's been opened. I've sold 31 packs and only 17 have been opened.
Gotcha.
So whether or not that they've been able to find where to open them is a different story, because everyone puts a little link on the description of the packs of where to open them. Mine probably wasn't that clear. Like I said, I'm a real noob at this and I'm making mistakes every time I do something, but I'm learning from them, which is good. So it wasn't very clear of where you actually open these packs. So I'll go through that with you if you want to see how that process works now.
Yeah, sure.
All right, so you just got to go to my website, which is cornchips.io. Yep. All right, so up the top, you'll see those buttons, open packs, blend cards, videos, and about us. Hit open packs. This will take you to Nifty Blocks.
Oh, so these are the ones that we've received. It just pulls them all up. Okay, I see.
That's right. So yeah, you can choose one of those. And when you click on it, you can tell it to open it. Yep. And all your
number transaction.
Now, mind you, they are building this, but there will be a way to put in an opening pack video. So
build time is greater than the maximum billable CPU time. Is that what you're talking about? Sometimes it won't open.
I think you need to put a little bit of wax into your CPU usage. I'm very fresh with that too, but
you have a tiny bit actually that you could send us over.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's connected to the same one. It's just connected like it would be with MetaMask, essentially.
What is the price of wax?
It's about 19 cents at the moment. When I got in, it was 25 cents. So I'm thinking, oh, wow, this is a lot of money. And then it dropped 6 or 7 cents per wax. And I was like, oh, well, it's still a lot of money, but it's nowhere near what it should be.
Yeah, I mean, so. on Ethereum right now, the whole NFT market has just been at a standstill because it's extremely expensive to mint them, and it's extremely expensive for anyone to come in and buy them, and it's extremely expensive for some people to sell them too. There's so many fees associated with it. You know, it's like when I first went over to Mintable, I heard about that, and there was like an NFT that was like $1. I was like, oh, well, I'll buy that. That's kind of neat. And it was going to be $60 to buy. And I'm like, well, fuck that. Not happening.
Yeah, I'm on hold for some different transactions too, just because of how expensive gas is right now on Ethereum.
It's gotten a little better. It's like back to what it was about a month ago, but it was really nice for a little bit. It was actually like, you know, at 32-ish on a regular basis.
It's got to wait for EIP-1559, and hopefully that solves all our problems.
I always forget that on all these blockchains, you got to have the currency.
Yeah, somebody sent me some BNB. I'm going to buy some ass tokens later.
Yep. Dude, and ass,
there's a token out there. It's like a meme. It's like a meme coin. In case you haven't heard of it, Matt, it's like a meme coin type of product, right? Do you have anything to add to that, Robin?
Yeah. So ass is like there's on Binance, because of the fact that Ethereum is so expensive. So many projects are being launched on Binance right now, and a lot of them are like just pump and dump scams, basically. Okay. But ass has like a really, really cool following. It's got like a really memeable name. Obviously it stands for Australian Safe Shepherd.
Okay.
I heard about it. I think it was 2 a.m. and I was going to bed and happened to open Twitter for some reason. And somehow, you know who it was? I think I saw Farmer Brown mention it actually. And I was like, huh, this is intriguing. I'm getting in on this. Fuck it. And I ran upstairs. I spent like 3 hours in their Telegram, and I had just, I've never used Binance in my life. And I had taken some like THC tincture. And so like, I'm trying to use Binance for the first time, and it's starting to kick in really hard. And I was just stoned out of my mind trying to like figure out Binance.
Cannabis and cryptocurrency don't mix.
Yeah, I was in the Telegram group just like asking people to send me BNB because I didn't have it. And I happened to have some pancake actually that I had bought a while back. So I got that, got the BNB, transferred the pancake over, and then swapped it for ass. And that was apparently, I think, the start of day number two. So I heard about it, I believe, on like the night of day number one.
You know, it's really funny. So you're talking to someone that has no idea really, like, compared to a lot of people about crypto, and you're saying you're swapping pancakes for BNB for us.
No, and okay, it gets even better. So the way that you track how much your like what's referred to as shit coins, the way you track them is on something called PooCoin.
That's amazing. Yeah, all you have to do is go to how do I do this? You've got to put it into your CPU.
All right, so I got to put the wax into my CPU.
Yeah, it's one of the buttons on the left. I've only done it once. try resources on the right hand side there. That's the one. See how you got? See the CPU. I just put 10 wax in there.
Okay. 10 steak.
Yeah, that should last you a while.
It looks like it did it already. Is that all I need to do?
I think so. If you go back to the website, you'll be able to see if it worked or not when you try and open the pack.
Looks like it's working now.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Boom. Chipney Spears. Ozzy Osbourne. All right.
You got a rare one too, the silver one.
Nice. I got a rare Chipney Spears and a Charlie Chipman and a Chipney Spears common.
Yeah. So that's if you had... Cool. So what you can do with these now, so I've set it up to be kind of a game. It's a trading card thing. So if you had three of those base cards, let's say the Chipney Spears ones, you can trade them in for another silver Chipney Spears card. So then you'll have two of those, because if you want to get a holographic one, then you can trade in three of the silvers for a gold. And if you get three golds, you can trade in those three golds for a holographic. And then you've reached your end of collecting that card. So you've got the most rare version of that card is the holographic. Then another part of the game where you guys brought up earlier was when I signed all 72 cards. The reason I did that, it's just an idea that sort of pricked in my head, but the idea behind that is I really don't like copying and pasting. I'm one of those guys that do things the hard way. I mean, it's fine to set up a template like these cards, but as for signing, if you get a signed card, I hate seeing it that it's been printed or it looks exactly the same as another one because someone's just dropped it on and copied and pasted it. So I went through and signed every single card on a Wacom, videoed it to prove it, and then put it up on YouTube so you can see it there. The reason behind all this is because there is another set of 72 cards to collect, and that's the signature cards. And to collect them, you need six duplicates of each card to get the signature card version of it. So if you have six silver Chipney Spears, you can burn that for signature card version of it.
But if I wanted to get platinum, I'd want to trade three of them up to a platinum and then get six of the platinums to trade for a signed platinum, right?
That's right. If I had platinums, yeah. But that's right. You need to. So if you want a gold version of it, you trade the three silver versions in, and then try and make six gold versions of that card to get the signature gold version of the card.
Well, it makes sense. It's a very straightforward process too. So if I click claim here, are these going to be saved somewhere permanently? Are they on the website, or how do I?
They'll be on your wallet.
Okay. So I'll go ahead and go claim. And then if I don't claim these at this point, what happens? Is my NFT still burned? Like, or is it open, but I saw what's inside? How does that exactly work?
Okay, so now that you've opened that pack does not exist. Only the cards do.
Okay.
It's but burned.
I have to approve it to put them into the wallet. Is that the idea?
Yeah, so every move that, if you're talking about getting captured there, I don't know what's happening there. You got an expired transaction. Took a bit long. So if you're using the capture thing right now, which you can't see on the screen here, you need to prove you're a human every step of the way. So that will always pop up there. Even if I change something in a description somewhere, it will bring up a capture thing as well. It'll make me prove that I'm a human. Yeah, so now what you can see there is your collection. That's what you've got.
Will it have a number next to them, like if you have more than one?
Yeah, so if you go to Atomic Hub, Or even, I'll give you another website just to confuse you guys even more, because I'm confused. What's it called? NFT Hive. I think it's .io. I'm not sure. Yeah, it's the one. So I've only just recently discovered this. This is probably 3 days ago. When you log into here, you can see everything that's going on, and it actually looks a little bit better when you display them in here than it does in Atomic Hub. So if you log into that, it'll show you the cards that you have. If you go to the little menu right hand side there, go to your account, inventory. Nice. All right, so there's your cards, and it should show a mint number. They probably don't have a mint number yet. It takes a little time to work for Atomic Hub to work out what mint you've got.
And would that appear like down here somewhere?
Yeah, I think it appears just below the card.
When you're saying the mint number, what do you mean exactly?
So, with the cards, if you there will be an amount of cards that are in existence. The first card that was claimed would be mint number one. So like in the real world, if you printed on cardboard 100 of the same type of card, one of those cards would be mint number one. It'll be the first one off the press.
Gotcha.
And they're the most valuable. If you go into Atomic Hub and look up the coin, actually let's do that. Go to Atomic Hub. Go to market. And search collections and just type in corn chips. It's on the left. On the left. Okay. Yep. Click on that. Okay. So these are the secondary market cards. So people have pulled these out of packs and they've put them up for sale on the market. So if someone needs an extra gold Wacken open air fried chip to get their holographic, they can come over here and buy it for 8 wax, which is about $1.58 at the moment. So they're reasonably cheap. Now, if you want to see something crazy, and I still can't believe this, go up to the top and click where it says listings, the newest, click the price highest, and check out what these guys are selling the rare cards for.
Oh, wow.
So that is a mint number one corny little devil card. There's by the look of it, there's been only one claimed. So the person that owns this has the only signature corny little devil card in existence on a holographic card. And he wants 20 grand for it.
Wow.
Do you know if anyone has started selling them yet? Like actually started transferring them?
Yeah. I see little bits of wax being dropped into my account here and there. I'm not actually sure how to follow the chain to find out who got what. And I don't know if that's even available. But when I see a couple of extra wax in there, I know that something's being sold for $10 or $5 or whatever it is.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I was actually going to ask about that. So Wax does have a way to set royalties then, I'm guessing. And then you do have them set.
That's right. So when you start up a collection, you actually get a choice between 1% and 15% of the secondary market sales. And I set mine at 10. I didn't want to be too greedy. And obviously 10% is a nice number for something that I've created. Yeah. And so Wax has gone down. It's just gone down to $19,000. That $20,000 one is now showing as $19,920. Yep. Must have just dropped. So if that gets sold right now for that amount, I get $1,900.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's not bad. Like that, for the people I think are going to benefit the most with this are musicians. I really think the music industry is going to adapt to this NFT stuff and start selling their work as an NFT.
I completely agree. It's just the right way to protect artists. I mean, one project I'm pretty interested in is Phoenix DAO, and they're actually looking at the idea of event tickets as NFTs. And when you think about that, like all the problems that would solve, not to do just to do with like legalities of hosting events, you know, what, how does that get changed when you're talking about not real money, maybe Ethereum or maybe something else, something we don't, you know, something the government doesn't currently see as regulated the same way, like what that would change. But then also, like, you have the issues like scalping and stuff like that. I mean, imagine if every time someone was scalped, the ticket was scalped or went to another person, it actually caused the money flow is constantly going back to the event. So the event became bigger from it. You know, there's a lot NFTs can do to protect value, in my opinion, which is part of the reason I love them, even though I don't own a ton of them yet. But
100%. Well, the thing, so my prediction is that, so when you look at the way the world's gone from things like back to the 1930s, to get some entertainment, you would have to go to a theater and watch people dance or sing or act on stage. And then that sort of probably got taken away a bit when movie theaters came out. So people were sitting in seats watching people on the screen now, not actually doing the actual work 20 times a week. They would see these people that have done work once, and it's captured on film, and so it's made it easier for the artists, and they still make the same amount of money, if not more, by making a movie. And then it goes into the digital world where you used to be able to hire a DVD, or even before that a cassette, and used to be able to take the movie home instead of having to go out to the cinema. And then the next step, obviously, Netflix. Yeah, you don't even have to leave your home anymore. You can just press a button and watch it on the screen. That evolution, if this happens with music as well, I think it's going to go down something like this. At the moment, we don't even buy CDs anymore. As a general rule, we download a lot of our music, and a lot of people download music without paying for it. So what I think is going to happen is people will sell their music as NFTs to protect themselves. And even if the music gets resold, which you're allowed to do, they'll get a cut of that resale. And the new cars that come out are not going to come out with DVD players or USB ports or whatever. If you want to play your music, you'll have to have it off a blockchain. I think it's going to be like you turn your 2050 model Tesla on, and you tell it to play music, it'll go to your blockchain where all your music is stored, and it'll play it from there. If you don't have music on a blockchain, it won't play it.
I think that's definitely possible in the near future, for sure.
Yeah, I have no doubt that's going to happen. If NFTs hold their ground, get bigger, and make their way into the future, I believe that is going to be a definite use for them.
Do we want to go ahead and open one more?
Yeah. Okay. Which one did we open? Did we open the teaser?
We opened one of the teasers. So I was thinking maybe we could open one of the extreme chili teas.
The others real quick. We should open all three. Yeah.
Open one of your extreme chili cheese. You'll get a few more special cards in there.
All right, let's see.
Let's see that hollow signature.
No, there is no signatures in the packs. You have to earn the signatures.
Oh, so you have to actually trade up for those. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, got a number of silvers on this one. Jesus.
Actually, that's not a really good result. There should have been at least a gold in there.
Yeah.
Hey, you got a James Caulfield, though. Yeah, I mean, the chances of each of that, obviously, you've got what the chances are set at. So there's a 66% chance, a 50% chance that you're going to get silvers, and a 33.3% chance you're going to get a gold, and a 16% chance that you're going to get a holographic. So you just got the low end of the special cards.
I felt like a winner anyway.
three holos to trade up for a holo signature. Is that correct?
You need six holos to save up for a holo signature.
Okay, damn.
All right, I'm going to just keep opening these guys because it's fun.
Well, hold on to one. We need to hold on to one.
Guys, I'll send you another pack. It's fine.
Let's have some fun. Open these up. Let's rip them open.
I learned from Magic. Don't open the damn packs.
Oh, you got another three silvers.
I love, okay. I love Tiffany Spears, though. She's the best.
Hey, can I tell you guys what I'm actually working on at the moment?
Yeah, totally.
I would love to share my screen as well if
let me close this out real quick. Oops. Hang on, I'm just claiming it so it'll disappear.
Yeah.
When you were creating these, like, did you have to create like the holo version, the gold version, and the silver version as well, or was that like a feature they have?
No, that's all me. They don't have any features like that. You need to create your assets from scratch. It's if they do, I don't know about them, but I don't think I would use them anyway. I would be using my people were saying, I've got a friend, his name's Sandown. I'm going to name and shame. His name is Sandown. And he said, oh, cool. You made some internet monies over a weekend. That's fantastic, because he has no idea about any of this stuff. I said, no. I made that money over 38 years of learning how to draw, 22 years of being in the industry where I'm making signs and graphic designing and learning marketing and learning cartooning and 5 weeks of studying NFTs. That's what made that money. It didn't take a weekend. It took 38 years. If you can direct your viewers to my Telegram, which is the address in the Telegram is @cornchipsdcs. You will see, I'll pin it so you can see it. There's a video already up I put up last night of what I was just about to show you. So the next evolution of these corn chips is going to be a zombie series.
Nice.
Now, in this zombie series, it is... Okay, so when you burn a card to trade up for the next card, that burn card no longer exists. You've killed it, right? It's gone. It's dead. I'm bringing them back to life as the undead zombies that you will see in the next couple of months. I've got a guy named Robert on my Telegram, and he's so helpful. He obviously knows what he's doing. He made a script to record how many of each card gets burned, and I'll decide on a date. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that it all works out. I'm going to release this new version of the corn chips on Friday the 13th of August. So maybe at midnight for you guys. I'm not sure yet. We'll get to that. But those burned corn chips, I'll have a number. I'll set a date and say, okay, that's it. If you hold a signature card of any type, you have earned the right to be a zombie hunter. While you're earning the right to be a zombie hunter, you will need to burn a whole heap of cards. So there'll be more cards thrown into this pile. And let's say 1,000 Chipney Spears cards have been burnt up till that date. There'll be 1,000 Chipney Spears cards available as zombies to hunt. And the idea behind it is these cards are going to be animated. So it'll be a next step up from what I know. I need to learn how to animate these things. I will animate them. I'll also have in packs, I'm undecided whether I'm going to actually put them in the packs you buy the zombie cards in or separate packs. You'll have weapons. So let's say, for instance, to keep it simple, a shotgun. If you find a shotgun card, you need to go and find 2 shotgun shell cards, blend those together, and then you have a loaded weapon. You can blend that card, the loaded weapon card, with a zombie card, and you'll have an animation of the zombie's head getting blown off.
That's really cool. That's fascinating. You put a lot of thought into the gamification of it, like it keeping it Keeping it fresh too, with like a continuous flow of like new ideas based off the last. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I've always kind of tried to do that. I mean, if someone's already done this, that's fine. And if someone gets the idea from me, that's also fine. But if I've come up with an idea like this one, and I did put a lot of thought into it, it just popped in my head saying, how would you get the burn cards back to life? And, you know, I've worked out how to do that. So, okay, why would you do it? Because they're zombies. They've come back from the dead. Okay, zombie card series, simple. What are you going to do with them? Just collect them? No, you're going to try and kill them again. So yeah, just keep it by adding another bit of fun to collecting these cards. And
really interesting thought process. I don't think I've seen anything else that really is like playing off of that kind of, that aesthetic. It's pretty cool.
Thanks, man. Yeah. My brain does this all day, every day. I'm pretty sure I'm on the spectrum somewhere. The way my brain works, it won't let me sleep unless I get these ideas out. And by the end of the day, I used to be in a band and I used to write lyrics all day, every day. My life was consumed by ideas for the band, and that's where I got all of my creativity out. And when all that ended, I had nowhere else to go with it, and it set me a bit loopy. Like I didn't feel right. And you know, I started concentrating on life itself instead of trying to create different little bits and pieces to scratch that itch. And I couldn't do it for any longer. I had to get back into it, and that's when I started designing liveries for the race cars on iRacing. And you know the story from there to here. So,
did you feel like your focus shifted post pandemic? Because I'd say I definitely have. I mean, we're relatively new to like the DeFi space ourselves. I've always been in marketing, but the last niche I guess I was serving was regenerative medicine, like stem cell therapy. But I also, I mean, in spite of like having some interest in it and all that, it was something I was getting tired of doing, and just the pandemic was just a really good opportunity to kind of be like, what do I want to do? What's something that I enjoy doing, and I would do it even if I wasn't getting paid for it. And that's kind of how I found DeFi and crypto and really dived into it full on. And I've heard that story from a number of people who just kind of said the pandemic was what gave them that time to focus on something they really wanted to.
I've got to say, I'm really, really lucky. The pandemic did not change much in my life at all. The place I work stayed open. I never worked from home. It was always go to work. We wore masks when we went out in public. We all did our bit to make sure that our country kept moving along in the right direction, even though we hated some of the changes that the government was making and we didn't agree with it. We still went, you know what, just do it.
Yeah.
And we got through it. And now, I guess there was a lot of overreacting, and it's probably what got Australia to where it is now. When you see, it was last week. Yeah, I think it was last week. There was a man who had tested positive for COVID, and he had visited all these barbecue stores all over Sydney. And one of the barbecue stores is like 500 meters down the road from me. Mm-hmm. And this guy spread himself out over an entire weekend to the far reaches of Sydney. And we didn't get shut down, but we got told, okay, masks back on, go get tested if you got symptoms, and that's it. And just continue on business as usual. And we have, and it's been like that all the way from start to finish. So I'm sorry to say, I don't have a story for you that the pandemic changed my life in positive or negative ways, because it really didn't. Honestly, the biggest effect that it has on my family is the fact that we can't travel to Germany, because my partner's from Germany, and we really want to go and see her family, and we just can't do it. So
I totally get that. And I feel like everybody, that's a story in and of itself, the disparity of like existence. You know, everybody's Everybody's had just a completely different story of how it's affected them, some people less. So, I mean, there are people through certain opportunities who will profit and prosper from the pandemic in some way or another. And there's people it'll barely impact, and there's people it'll make their life a lot harder. So it's still interesting to me to hear like how other countries have responded and how the people in those places have kind of dealt with the issue.
If I had this idea and knew about NFTs 2 years ago, I can tell you right now, I would have a lot more products out there because I would have had more time indoors to sit down and research on how to do this stuff a lot more than I did in 5 weeks. So yeah, I think I would have a far more superior product. I would have something that was more polished. I would have something that was just 100% better than what I've started with, which is okay because that's what I'm going to have soon. This is only my first one, and that will get better. Like I said, the pandemic didn't really affect my life too much. I guess that was just the timing that fell on my luck. You know, it only happened 5 or 6 weeks ago instead of a year or two ago. So, you know, I'll just run with what I've got now.
Awesome. Robin, did you have any other questions? I think I've pretty much finished up.
Yeah, I wanted to just see, is there a place where like somebody could go to see like the whole entire series?
Yeah, it's on my website. The only thing that's not up yet is the zombie chips, but they will be soon. But so if you go to cornchips.io, you'll see the entire series there. You could also, if you go to Atomic Hub and you look up like what you did, you search the collections of, sorted by cornchips DCS, you will find everyone that is selling their aftermarket products. Selling my products aftermarket, and you can see what they're actually going for. You'll see packs for sale all the way through on Atomic Hub as well. But the easiest way I know that you can buy a pack is just going to cornchips.io, seeing what's available there. You just click on the pack and it'll take you straight to a drop site where you can buy it. There's plenty of discounted packs up at the moment as well, because I set up a whole bunch with a wax price instead of a dollar amount. So if you go surfing through the through Atomic Hub, you'll see some that are going for like $9 that are originally $13. So if you suck those up before the price of wax goes back up, you know, buy the dips, as they say. The chips go well with the dips. So yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, yeah. What are some other ways people can contact you?
I'll give out my phone number if you like. No, I'm kidding. I've got all the social media accounts set up. So I've got Facebook, which is /cornchipsdcs, and that's the same as Twitter as well, and Instagram, and of course the Telegram. I've had a few people email me directly through my email as well. That's fine. However you want to talk to me, if you just want to say, hey, I like your chips, then yeah, tell me. I love hearing good feedback like that. If you don't like my chips, that's fine. Don't have to buy them.
They can send you an email about that
too. Excuse me, sir, I do not like your chips.
Yeah, I really can't stand this.
I'm offended by cheeses.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we need to share that around to some Christian Twitter groups, I guess.
Yeah, I had a feeling that one's going to offend some people, but that's okay. I'm yeah.
Hey, hopefully it gets you some press. If it does, yeah, we should send it to Fox News.
I'm pretty sure the Catholic school I went to is probably very offended if they found out about it. But yeah, that's fine. I like a little bit of controversy in my life.
All right. Well, it's great to have you on. I guess we'll go ahead and wrap with that. And really interesting project, a really tasty project, and looking forward to seeing what you guys develop from here. I'm looking forward to seeing those zombie chips too as well.
Yeah, that'll be really cool. So definitely let us know when that's going to be happening.
Awesome. Yeah, I will. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm just so surprised that this has gotten as far as it has in the short amount of time that I've had to do this stuff. And thank you very much for spreading the word of these little guys. It means a lot.
Absolutely. And just a reminder to everyone, please like and subscribe to our channel and this video. And does anyone else have anything else to say?
I think that's it for me.
Eat chips.
Eat more chips.
Believe in Jesus.
Oh, okay. Send all complaints to somewhere else, please.
Absolutely.
That's what your email's for.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. Have a great Saturday.
Take care.
Will do. Have a good weekend, guys.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.